Hey, Corey, what are you doing?
Oh, just trying to look up some news and stories on my phone. But there's so many sites I need to go to. It's just so flingin' time-consuming.
I know what you mean. With so much content whizzing around out there, there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm and stay informed and inspired. And that's Flipboard.
Flipboard?
Yes, Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7.
Wow. But can I share the stories I find?
You sure can, Corey. When you see stories that you want to save or share, tap the plus button to add them to your private or public collection. It's that simple.
It sure sounds it. Now I can read news every day.
Used by millions of people every day, Flipboard is how people move themselves and the world forward. Get started now at flipboard.com or download the app from the App Store or Google Play.
Welcome to Open Caller. I'm Corey Willis alongside.
Take two.
Alongside Michelle Sheth and Ryan Kirkner. I'm going to give a brief shout out to our live stream viewers on YouTube. YouTube.com/govnc. Gentlemen, have a random question. What's your all time favorite video game? Now, this could be overall, this could be if you want to think of childhood.
I thought this was supposed to be like a 45-minute show.
Yeah, God, give us a second.
We'll start with system and game then.
System and game?
That's probably easier that way.
Yeah, best system, I'd say Nintendo 64. And then best game overall, I would say StarCraft. That's my go-to.
Best system, I would have to agree with the 64, but the Switch is a super close second, and I don't know if that's just because
recency
I have
bias.
It. Yeah, exactly. Best game, I think if I went with the game that I kind of played the most, I'd probably say Super Mario 3 for the original.
Ooh, yeah, that's a...
Deep cut. Yeah, like that's the, I think that's my OG favorite. Yeah. If not that one, then it would be Sonic 2.
Sonic 2 is pretty great.
Yeah,
I still play Sonic 2.
Casino level.
Sonic 2, that wasn't Sonic and Tails, was it?
That was Sonic and Tails.
Was it? No.
Yeah, Sonic 2 was Sonic and Tails.
Yeah. Oh, wait, now I'm thinking of Knuckles. Ugh.
No. Yeah.
Sonic and Knuckles.
We haven't talked about Knuckles.
The Poochie of Sonic series.
he has to go. His planet needs him. Yeah, 64, the same. But the game I kept going back to as a kid was Turtles in Time.
Ooh, Turtles in Time was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one for sure. Ah, so many good ones.
Whatever happened to just like good like couch co-ops like that? Do they even make them like that anymore?
No, because everyone wants to play online now.
Has to be Super Smash Brothers on N64, I think, was the last real get-together with your buddies that I can think of.
Couch sitter.
Yeah. We used to actually play Mario Party, I forget which number it is,
the
GameCube.
Oh, not two then.
No, it was like...
Four or five.
That was a really good... like, hey, come over and play Mario Party. It didn't end up really being that way because it was mostly just like me and two roommates who were already over being like, hey, come out of your room and play Mario Party. But still, that was the last game that I played a lot of with other people in the same room.
I was never into the Mario Parties.
I'm very excited about Mario Party for the Switch.
Well, let's get into the E3 news then, shall we?
Let's do it.
So we'll start, I guess, Nintendo with the Mario Party.
Mario Party. Well, they announced a bunch of stuff, right? Like, so Mario Party, and then especially Super Smash. That was... Brothers. Yeah, Super Smash Brothers is going to be Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I think the biggest thing about it is that every character from every Super Smash is going to be in it. And that's going to be awesome. There's going to be a lot of like nostalgia factor playing into me getting that game.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. Well, also the fact that it's going to be great, but...
Was there 60 plus characters?
Yeah, I think it was like 67 or 62. I forget, but a lot. And then obviously they can add more as time goes on. But that one and Mario Party, I wasn't able to watch any of E3, so I pretty much only know about a couple of those Nintendo things, and then obviously the Sony Spider-Man or the Activision.
Well, yeah, Spider-Man. That was the major, I think, thing for Nintendo was Mario Party and Super Smash Bros. The Mario Party looks interesting with the whole putting your Switch screens together.
That I think was when I saw that as part of their kind of not reveal, but as part of their trailer, I guess. I thought just that one situation that they were using it in was cool, and then I just kept on trying to think of how else they were going to do that, where you would, you know, it could change the game or change the board with another Switch there.
And it's my thing I find weird is that hearing them play up the online capabilities, considering that it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, you can do this when you're, because everything they've done up until I think this point has been get together, sit in a room and play your games. But now
it's hearing
Mario Party is online compatible. Just mind blown for Nintendo.
It's fun. It seemed like all the games they announced were very easily, like you'd be able to play them online for sure.
But a lot of disappointment with them, and like they didn't really announce too much or show too much that has already been talked about. Like, I think the people were let down by Metroid Prime wasn't the demo
I think they just kind of stuck with their
in-house stuff.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty okay with, because it's also not the best when they announce things and then, I mean, even Super Smash Brothers is not for it's coming out in December.
Yeah.
You know, so it's still 6 months away.
Well, I think, I don't know if it was Sony or Microsoft, but they were announcing games that weren't coming out until next year.
Exactly. Like, that's, you know, it's almost too much, because it's not like it's going to be old news by the time it comes out. Obviously they have a lot more to do with it, but I think that I don't even know when Metroid is slated to come out. This year though, right?
Sure,
probably
November or something. But that's, I was also disappointed they didn't dive deeper into the online and what it's all going to be about.
Yeah,
it comes in September,
right? We talked about that a couple of podcasts ago, and that was sweet, where we'll be able to play. It's going to be super cheap, yeah, relatively.
By comparison, for sure.
By comparison, like, it costs a year, yeah. And then to be able to play, if we can, you know, we'll get some old games, and then to be able to play these ones against everyone else, I think it'll be good, especially like worldwide stuff. And then with them getting, what's it called? Ryan, are you a Fortniter? I can't remember.
I'll never be a Fortniter.
I don't understand.
I don't get the game.
Yeah, the hype.
It's not, I don't get it.
Am I too old, or?
I think we're all too old.
I don't know. I know people our age that are like
good at it.
Good, like just obsessed with it.
Well, it was explained to me. It's like doing like a campaign or something, like an online campaign in like Call of Duty, but rather than like you, it's like this team versus this team, it's like you and somebody, but yeah, it's like a free for all.
Yeah, it's like a free for all, like 100 kind of drop. Like, I've played like Player Unknown Battlegrounds, and it's kind of the same thing. And it's fun. I just don't think it's mind blowingly different.
What? So if it's, so it's like a every person for himself,
for himself
kind of situation, and you can obviously team up and help yourself get, you know, further or whatever. But if that's the case, how is that one guy ninja like so good at it? Like, you can't just be, you know, don't you peak at some point? Like, you get to a level where you're like, all right, I can aim really well. I don't know. I don't play the game, so I don't know the mechanics of it all. But, you know, when you were playing, I don't know if this is an apt comparison, but if you were playing GoldenEye and...
Great game,
right? And really after playing for so long, your main advantage was just knowing the map.
I think this is very similar, where map knowledge and figuring out where things drop, you know, where the items are and all that, I think is a lot of the battle.
But I mean, with so many people playing so often, then, you know, shouldn't there be more people that are as good as Ninja or better? But like, it seems like he is just...
Well, that's embarrassing.
I'm frozen. Oh, I'm back.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, I guess I don't get the game as much. But anyway, it's on the Switch. And then, of course,
it's
Sony.
Free.
Yeah, and Sony is...
That's why it's popular.
Controversy train.
Yeah. Any free-to-play game, like, I think that's the way to go now. Nobody wants to pay $9.99 for a decent game.
Yeah.
It's just... And I think developers have kind of done it to themselves with all the... what's the term I'm looking for when like something's in like beta, pre-purchase almost, let's call it.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're paying for a game that's not even complete yet. And I think to us older folk, I think that concept was kind of unheard of for a really long time. Yeah, like imagine getting half of Mario Kart. Like, just doesn't make sense to us.
Yeah. That happened with the Xbox. I find a lot things are getting sent out too early before Gold Masters are even like put out for printing. I remember there, I can't remember what the game was, but there was one for sure that I got for the Xbox that shipped, and then they discovered later that there was just buggy as hell, and they submitted a patch that was free to download like 2 months after it came out. Well, I guess like a lot of the games, some of the ports on the Switch were like that. Like the NBA came out was, and I think the new WWE game was like unplayable until they got patched.
I think it's just the inability to deliver a finished product nowadays, and I don't know why we let game developers get away with it so much.
I think it's because of the online services and the ability to put patches out when you need to.
Yeah.
You rush for the deadline, hit the deadline, and then if you got to fix it later, you fix it later.
Exactly. And it's easy to add, well, not easy, but it's, you know, it almost, it seems like it's goodwill when they're adding the rest of the game afterwards. Like you said, you get half a game or half the characters, or
I mean, it's not goodwill. It's doing what you were supposed to technically
exactly
do in the first place.
But
now they can charge another $5.99 after the fact
to get the game.
It's like, it's like, oh shit, like another $5 and I get 30 more maps to, you know, play GoldenEye in or something. Yeah. But like that never happened, right? Because it was all, you know, it's physical cartridges and then not connected to the internet.
You pay $65, you play it, you beat the game, and then it sits collecting dust until the next one comes out.
Now, I was okay with games back in the day, like having a full game and then paying for an expansion later. That was okay, because it was actually more content. It was almost not a new game in its entirety, but still enough new content where it's justified. StarCraft 1. I was actually thinking of like Roller Coaster Tycoon, but
well, you know, they're like, man, they're bringing that back.
Loopy Landscapes was hands down the best expansion I've ever played. But yeah, stuff like that, right? And so that concept was kind of okay, and then from there it just seemed to have gotten lazier and lazier as time progressed.
Yeah, and then it was definitely what Corey said: get the game out, fix the rest later.
Yeah.
Which is,
or you know, get the money first, and then you can build the game off the money. It's basically a Ponzi scheme.
It's Kickstarter.
It's basically Kickstarter.
The new tennis game on the Switch, that exactly what happened. It got sent out before it was even final, and I think it was across all platforms. I don't think it was just limited to the Switch.
Whatever. It was on the
like, Wii. It was buggy and like it was just like almost unplayable.
Oh yeah.
I think PS4 and Xbox One.
For which games?
It's some tennis. I think it's literally called tennis.
Okay, yeah, not Mario Tennis.
Oh, that's Aces.
Not that
Striker Tennis.
Weekend log.
Yeah, no, not that one. Let's see if I can find the article, because yeah, that's what it was. Like they gave it a 0 because again it was virtually unplayable. It's not that big a deal.
No. It's tennis. No one wants to play real life tennis. Come on.
That's why they There's play the Wii Tennis or whatever it was. Wii Bowling, Wii Tennis.
Ah. Yeah, I bowled a $2.99 in Wii Bowling.
That's right.
I got the picture to prove it too.
I remember getting that picture and being like, oh, I'm gonna get you. It never happened.
All it took was making sure your arm never fucking moved.
Yeah. Like, you just need to keep your arm in a sling and then
just go and drop and make sure it went straight ahead.
Consistent motion.
Yeah, okay. The developer said that the game was only 20% completed a few weeks before its release. Yes. So so it's a Tennis World Tour has this disastrous launch, updated version next year.
Next year.
Yeah. Switch version delayed again to include improvements.
That's fair. What was I? Sony. Going back to Fortnite and Sony. I don't super understand the thing, but I guess there's a bunch of backlash about not being able to play your Fortnite
thing. Yeah. Essentially, from the article I read, was if you have like a progression linked to your Sony account, okay, not like the developer account that comes within Fortnite, you can't like sign into that account via your Switch. You can sign into the, let's just say, EA account if it's EA, and then send your progress over. But if you were to have signed in to your PS4 account, played in the game before linking it to your EA account, you can't do that. All your progress is tied to your Sony account, which is not taught playing nice with Nintendo.
Really?
So if you didn't create a save on Sony's network but made one within the actual game network, you can crossplay. You didn't pick up your progress.
Sony, if you sign up for
an account with your email address and then later decide to do it with your Google account, since your account's already made, it makes a new one. Same thing. Yeah.
That's super annoying though. Like,
yeah, because Microsoft is not doing that.
With so many things going cross-platform, keeping things on a single platform, like kind of keeping people locked into your gaming system sucks.
I don't understand as much, considering this is not the PS3 versus Xbox anymore, Xbox 360 anymore, where everybody had an Xbox and PS3 was like considered garbage.
Yeah.
Like everyone's got a PS4 versus an Xbox One. So bulk of the gamers are on there. So who cares if it's a couple more people on your server?
Yeah. And it's not like, is it really, you know, the only reason I got the Xbox was because you guys had one, mm-hmm, and the Smiley Coyotes needed to play.
That's right, man. TFT.
But you know, at this point in time, is there really that many people being like, oh, I really want to play Fortnite against you, so I should get a PlayStation?
I don't think so. I think it comes back to the online capability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's online, so like to open up would be like the best thing to do, right? And then if like you can still make the PS4 version somehow look better and everything and have people kind of buy your system on that merit, but not for the sake of like, well, now I'm stuck with you, so I have to get, when the PS5 comes out or whatever, like are they going to need to have, they're going to need to have that to continue their Fortniting or any of, you know, other games that also require an account?
I think unless it's a console exclusive at this point, everything should be open to crossplay.
Right. It just doesn't make that much sense, I guess. Especially now, like, I mean, I guess the group of people that have both an Xbox and a PlayStation are it's a much smaller group of people than people who have
bigger,
either
bigger last gen for sure. I was one of those. I had a Xbox 360, a PS3, and a Wii.
Yeah.
Well, but like in a DS and a PS Vita.
I have a DS.
But like the amount of people that would have one of those systems as well as a Switch is probably bigger. You know, you could you could totally I'm sure there's lots of people. Is it the same with Xbox? Like if you started, like, is there an Xbox like a account and then an EA account? And is it that?
No, it's not the same issue as Sony's doing.
You can, So it's just
continue. Yeah. It's strictly limited to Sony.
Weird.
Of course.
Yeah. But all right, sorry. And then keeping up with Sony. That Spider-Man game.
Did you watch that video?
Yeah. Like there hasn't been my PlayStation has been collecting dust since I got my Switch over a year ago. And probably even before then, because I didn't have a lot of time to play anyway. But this is the game that might make me just hold on to it.
Not sell it to you.
Yeah. It looks so good, and pretty much every single thing I've read about it is saying that if the game was only you swinging through New York, it would be worth it.
Yeah, like, I saw a couple tweets. I'm at the Sony booth, and I've spent the last 45 minutes just swinging around, not doing any missions.
Yeah, and I think one of the things was like, you could be swinging around, seeing muggings happening, seeing crimes and fires and everything, and you just swing past it because whatever.
Because that's life, right?
Yeah,
that's the real life of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in Spider-Man 2 where he threw out his suit and the guys get mugged and he just
walks away.
I'm done with that, guys.
Yeah, but I think that if I was to hold on to my PlayStation until next year, I think that would be the first game I get for my PlayStation since. Yes.
Chill.
Yeah, I think so. 17, 18.
No, 17.
16? 16, I don't know. Whichever last NHL game.
It reminds me very much of the Batman Arkham games, just open world. The mechanics look very similar.
Punch 'em out.
Punch 'em out brawler. It's crazy, like nowadays where you like the games are so polished that a cutscene to gameplay, it's seamless.
Yeah.
Like it's not like a really heavily rendered cutscene and then, you know,
not choppy, but yeah.
Yeah. But now it's all fluid.
Yeah, it's like you're going from, you know, a movie to real life, and it seems like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that I'm excited for. What else happened at E3? That's pretty much all I read about. So,
Last of Us Part 2.
Right. I did see something about that.
There was a big thing about the graphics and mechanics about that kissing scene. That's over that.
I saw something about it. What is that? Just it looked really real. That was it, or
yeah, like the subtlety of like I guess like the scene plays out where I'm sure it's like in the before time.
Before time.
I think Last of Us is like a Walking Dead type zombie gaming thing. So like they're at a, I guess like at a dance or something, and like this guy's talking to his woman, I guess about his ex-girlfriend, and then rather than the one girl he's talking about shows up at the bar, and rather than grab the boyfriend, he grabs the girl, and they're dancing or whatever, and she's like, everyone's staring, and then she's, I guess, like, yo, they're staring at you. He's like, why are they staring at me? She's like, because you're like the lucky one ever, and she moves in for a kiss, but like the hair like moves a certain way as she moves in, and like the starling of the face goes in, and like it was very detailed for like a video game, so people were just blown away by the actual care and they took into animating that.
That's fair, I guess, but like, don't they usually do that for non-gameplay,
like cinematics?
Yeah, I guess, but I guess they just
this one was just really good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet. That's fun.
The gameplay looked amazing though. Like after that, like because then it cuts to like the now time.
In the time,
yeah. So it's funny because it's like it shows like like they're kissing stuff and it cuts, and so like the girls, rather than have like the other one in front kissing, is she's got like a knife through some guy's neck.
Yeah, that's,
to me that was more memorable than everything else. But one thing I find funny about games that they're supposed to be super realistic, yet you can get shot like 84 times and still have half
your health left.
I think that's always going to be an element of games. I think that's the idea, right? Like, games aren't very fun if like it's too realistic, in the sense where if you get shot once, you got to start from scratch again.
Or yeah, like you get shot in the leg and then you're moving.
Yeah, you're limp for the rest of the campaign.
She got shot in the shoulder and they got an arrow through another shoulder, and like, but she's still trekking along.
Yeah, you're supposed to be superhuman. That's why we play these games.
Spend 24 hours in a hospital. You're just like watching.
All right.
Hospital simulator.
Just pushing the button.
Yeah.
You have your insurance card. Press A for yes.
Oh man, I don't have insurance. It lapsed.
Please fight the orderlies to stay in the hospital.
Please go to the free walk-in clinic across the street.
They only have,
it takes you too long because you're like shot.
Yeah. You missed your bus.
You have 65 seconds to get there before you bleed to death.
No, I just missed the 12.
There's a game I want to play. Real life.
Up, down, up, down, left, right, left, right, and then you can get the number 13 bus that comes a half hour later. No respawning either.
No.
It's
your life we're talking about.
You die, but then you come back as somebody else in a different country.
Die, and then you have to buy an expansion pack to have a new guy.
Yeah. The missions stay the same, but you're somebody else in a different part of the world.
You got to make it all the way back.
Getting clear customs and immigration, and then... Speaking of customs immigration, World Cup has started.
Oh yeah, it looks like you got some kind of jersey going on there.
What are those, Spungos?
It is the Argentine.
The Argentinians.
They tied today with Iceland, which is basically a loss.
I hear Iceland's very nice.
Apparently they're surprisingly good at sports, according to Mighty Ducks 2. We've talked about this.
So hockey and soccer is where Iceland
excels.
They are not the underdogs.
That and Vikings.
Oh yeah, obviously. Why is a tie essentially a loss?
I think they're expected to win that one outright and get 3 points and, you know, win their group outright and all that stuff. Iceland was ecstatic. If you saw the fans in the stands, they thought the tie was the best thing that's ever happened to their country.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, not good. Not good for my friends down south.
How does it's top two in each pool advance?
Yeah, top two go ahead to the knockout stage of 16. So, and I mean, a win's 3 points and a draw's one. So if you're not winning, like
how hockey should do their points.
Yeah. Exactly how hockey should do it. So Spain and Portugal also tied, but they're two strongish teams.
Yeah, teams. They're not Iceland.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think in France, I've been reading.
If one of those two draws again with another pool, then that's going to really hurt their chances, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that does suck.
Yeah. Yeah, draws aren't good. You don't want to draw. You want to win.
I'd rather lose than draw.
Yeah, I think people would rather lose.
Just not in your pool, because then the other team's way ahead.
Well, even just from like a math standpoint, like if both teams draw and you get 1 point each, that's 2 points. And if a win's three, then...
Wait, hold on.
Checks out. Then if a win's three, then both teams are essentially leaving a point on the field, right? Yeah. Whether it comes to one team or the next.
That's fair.
So, I don't know. That's about as good as my math gets. I can't explain further than that.
Yeah, that's good. It sucks that hockey does it the opposite way, where an extra point can potentially be added every game.
Yeah, all you have to do if you're tied with 5 minutes left is don't try.
Yeah. As long as the other team also doesn't try. Because if you don't try and the other team
depends
does.
If you're close to making playoffs and it's March, you stop trying.
Yeah. Trying's the first step towards failing.
Life lessons like from Ryan.
So Argentina.
Who's what's the like top teams that are there? Like what are we expecting to happen?
Probably I read people are taking France.
France, Spain, probably Brazil, Germany again.
You think they're gonna repeat?
They could. Well, you know how German, the Germans are with dynasties.
Too soon, Ryan.
Come on.
Well, they were in one world war. It didn't work out for them. They'll go for it again.
Exactly. Don't know when to quit.
Well, that's... World Cup was never my... Well, just soccer in general. I played when I was younger.
It is a beautiful game.
And then, don't really see the beauty. Like, I mean, I get it. I get the...
Hey, I think the Simpsons summed it up best. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about soccer.
That episode was on the other day. I like flipped. Oh, no, yeah. That's not true.
Doesn't matter.
I saw it on the Instagrams.
Yeah, I'm sure it was on. Itself.
Yeah.
It was on somewhere.
Exactly. But it was fun. Like Homer listening to all the players' names, and he's like, I don't know any of these guys, and they're like, they'll be signing autographs. They're like, oh, that's me, we gotta go. That's such a good episode.
The ones like Badiaga, and then like Adiaga, and like
Adiaga too. Yeah. So good.
I wish I had a two in my name.
Bullis two. You could make the two L's the two.
That's a good
streets.
Excited for the 2026.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Coming to North America.
Yeah. Is it though?
Yeah. Is it going to be as popular? Like, obviously, it'll be popular.
I think people will travel for it.
Yeah, it's like the World Cup of Hockey here in Toronto, but like throwing Canada some extra like exhibition games. It seems like you're going to get like 64 versus 68 or whatever playing in Edmonton, and you're gonna have like the matchups everybody wants to see taking place in the States.
Yeah, but doesn't this mean Canada automatically makes the World Cup if they're hosting? Is that
apparently
not how that works?
Like from what I read, that was not mentioned at all.
Yeesh.
Is that a good thing for the World Cup though? That,
well, they're, I think, what, 2026 they're expanding it to what is it now?
Universe Cup?
World Cup 2.
World Cup 2.
What's the tournament now? How many teams?
32.
Yeah, I think they're bumping it up to like 48 or something for the 2026 game. So that's what they're saying, that
still, does adding
likely could have an automatic bid by all three because there's that many extra spots.
Would it be a similar thing though, where like still like it's still, are they just going to add more pools, like two more pools of four or three more pools of four, or are they and then, you know, still have the top two advance, or have just add like one or a couple teams to each pool and still make the top two advance? You just get a couple more round robin games,
pools of three,
and then the top one advances.
Yeah. Then you have 16.
Yeah, that could work. But then you don't you risk a lot of like, I don't know. It seems like there's always one pool that is like the death pool or pool of death or whatever it is.
Yeah, group of death.
The dead pool.
That's the one. Yeah, the dead pool. And then if there's just three teams, then isn't it? They would want it to be one kind of expected winner in each pool because they don't want certain teams to like potentially get knocked out. Like when USA and Canada are in the same pool, it means that they, you know, it's less likely that they're going to make it to the finals. And like for hockey and.
Because I don't think that was going to happen in soccer. Yeah,
but you know, but they're in separate pools so that, you know, they meet later on and stuff. So is that if they just had three, right, and then you just have like kind of the expected winner, you might have an upset here or there, but essentially the 16 that go in are the 16 you want.
I'm sure the ones you want are the ones that are going to win the pool anyway.
It kind of eliminates the, like, because right now Spain and Portugal are in the same pool, and like, yes, they'll both advance, but like Ryan said, if one of them ties again randomly with one of the other games, then, you know, that's it for them.
It's fine. It's FIFA. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they got it.
Just throw a couple Benjamins down and
shoot the refs.
Can you shoot the refs, though?
Not in this league. Oh.
So, Shell, any interesting tech news that you got on the agenda?
Kind of, I guess. Vivo, a well-known everywhere other than North America company, came out with a phone that is almost all screen, which is...
For a second, when you said Vivo, I thought you meant the music channel?
Like,
yes.
The one on YouTube?
Yeah.
Or how are you going to say
the one who is competing with YouTube, but is on YouTube a lot?
Yeah, they got rid of all their apps to focus on being on YouTube.
Yeah, super weird.
Right?
But
all right, you're saying.
But yeah, so the trend over the last kind of year and a half for phones has been to minimize, like to just have a fully front, like screen on the front with no bezels, nothing to hold on to, and just have a 100% screen situation. So a lot of phones, like the iPhone, obviously is the biggest kind of, the iPhone and the Galaxy phones are the ones that are doing the best with getting rid of bezels around the sides and just keeping as much screen as possible. So you get a bigger screen in a smaller form factor. And then Vivo comes around, and right now, so I'll show you. So this is the iPhone, and you can see it's mostly all screen. Sorry, audio listeners. But there's this little notch at the top to hold all the, you know, speakers and front-facing camera and all the sensors they need for whatever. Vivo stuck all that underneath the screen, which is pretty cool. Put a camera as a mechanical pop-up thing that like shoots out the top if you want to use the front-facing camera. I'm not sure how I feel about that. It just feels like another part that could get broken really easily and then you're screwed. Their phone is like 90% screen, almost 91 point something percent screen. It looks really cool. The fingerprint scanner is embedded within the screen, so it's like some crazy technology is happening. But it looks like that's going to be the trend going forward. That's the thing I've been reading about most in the last kind of week or so, in the limited amount of time I've had to read stuff. But it's going to be, I think, only available in China, or I don't know if it's China specifically or Asian countries kind of thing. Very unlikely to make its way over to North America. I might have to try and import it.
Or move there,
one or the other. Although I think Japan would be my if I was going on a trip, I think Japan would be the place that I would want to visit right now. Just there's a lot of technology happening there. But other than that, that's all the tech stuff that's going on right now. At least the tech stuff that I'm interested in, phones and tablets and mobile. And then it's all Switch stuff.
All Switch stuff. Ryan?
I'm just waiting for the newspaper clip that you're going to show us. I want to see that dog eating.
Oh, you're not going to talk about how your barbecue was? What'd you have?
Oh, my barbecue was good. It was a Father's Day barbecue. Had burgers, hot dogs, you know, the typical barbecue stuff. Had way too much food. Said hi to my dad.
Just, hi, Dad, walk in, grab the food.
Yeah, get the food.
My sister got him Red Black's home opener tickets as a Father's Day gift. I haven't gotten my dad anything yet.
You're like, I brought the buns.
Yeah. I just figured I figured a son's
they are 4 days old. Might be a little dry.
Yeah, they are hot to the touch.
I took him for the neighbor who was also having a barbecue.
Yeah, no, that's about it. Not much new with me. No news.
No news is good news, Ryan.
For me, yeah.
What are your Father's Day plans tomorrow, Corey?
Try not to die from the heat.
Yeah.
That's coming. Was it maybe like 40 degrees?
Really? That's fun. I hope so. I love the heat.
Well, you are Indian.
Well, you know.
Just goes without saying.
That's right.
Jeez. All right, well. Nah, not too much. I'll find out, I guess, what the plan is when I wake up tomorrow and I'm attacked by children.
Breakfast in bed.
And then attacked by my own children. But you want a news story? I got a news story. It's not the one that I was going with, but CTV News screwed that for me. So
I'm excited.
I think we go with that one anyway. It was a good one.
I tossed it. But this one, it's kind of related to the last one. I'll just read you the article title.
More crocodiles.
No. Woman went to check on corn. Swallowed by python.
Sorry. Say that one more time.
A woman went to check on her corn. Was swallowed by a python.
How?
I expected nothing.
I'm intrigued. I'll need to know more about this.
Okay. So, for the second time in barely more than a year, an Indonesian villager was swallowed by a python.
The same one?
This is what possibly gets us ratings. I love these. This is where we get the views.
Okay. Her name was Watiba. She was 54. She left her home on Muna Island to visit her cornfield Thursday night, according to the Jakarta Post. The field was about a half mile from her home, surrounded by cliffs, caves, and a certain number of reticulated pythons, the longest snake in the world. Snakes normally feed on smaller animals. Attacks on humans are supposed to be as rare as winning the lottery and being struck by lightning at the same time. Nevertheless, such a horror took place on an adjacent island last year when a man's body was extracted from a 23-foot python in an incident captured on a gruesome YouTube video. There is a link. I'm not watching it.
That's the After Dark version.
Tiba was concerned about wild boars, not so much snakes. As she walked through her cornfield that night, the Jakarta Post reported, the pigs had been raiding the crops lately, so thus the inspection. When she did not return home by sunrise, her sister went into the field to look for her. She found only Tiba's footprints, her flashlight, her machete, right, and slippers. In the morning on Friday, about 100 people from the village combed through the fields. They found a snake a few dozen yards from her belongings. It was 23 feet long. It was so bloated it could barely move. A long bulge midway down its body had a foreboding look to it. The villagers killed the snake and laid it out on the ground. Villagers crowded around, with some making videos, of course, as a man knelt and carefully cut across the bulge with the machete. He parted the snake's flesh, and the result was much as it had been on the other island the year earlier. Tiba laid intact inside the snake, clothed just as she'd been when she went to check the corn. She probably didn't die inside the snake. The pythons, as you know, they secures his prey with a bite, wraps his body around the victim, squeezing it until they cannot breathe, and then they die. At least that's what they normally do. It's so rare for humans to be eaten, the Post reported. It's more common to see hoaxes. A single photo of a snake digesting a pig has been used to falsely claim attacks on humans in China, Africa, and across Southeast Asia. In Indonesia, however, two people have now lost those great odds.
That's
it. I have so many questions.
Go ahead. I'll see if there's anything in the comments field that
I
can answer.
Like I am clearly an expert now.
pythons, yeah, they usually just squeeze them and that's it, but yeah, rarely do they eat them.
I don't know, how do you, like, if you have the machete, I'm thinking
exactly,
like,
that's what I was thinking,
right? How do you lose that battle?
Must be a surprise attack,
yeah, from the, yeah, something.
And then I don't know. And then so when the villagers found the snake,
yeah,
it was too bloated to move. Like, how were they able to?
He's just there. I guess they cut the head off or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, if you're trying to eat a human, like, your digestive system's pretty busy for a while.
Yeah. When snakes eat, they're pretty docile.
I'm usually pretty hosed after eating a T-bone steak. So can't imagine how that fight
went. Guys, come get me in 3 days.
Yeah. Get the tire iron.
Yeah, just like do the top button, and then you're don't move for.
Need maternity pants.
These are my turkey
pants. Those are his T-bone pants.
So there's your.
Well, that didn't disappoint, Corey. That's
awesome.
I can't
wait for next week's animal story of the week.
We need snakes, to have
snakes.
like a tagline for that part of the show.
We'll have one for the next episode.
Corey stories or something like that.
Animal stories with Corey. Animal stories.
Sounds friendlier than what it actually is.
Yeah.
Call it reptiles.
Yeah, reptiles. Good
one. Reptiles, a woohoo. What's the story, morning, Corey? You've reached the Corey hotline.
Reptile stories are $4.95 a minute.
$4.95?
That damn economy. That's it.
I think that's it.
That's it. That's all.
That's open caller for this week. Follow the show socially.
Remember to like /
Open Collar Podcast. Twitter, Instagram @ Open Collar Pod. For Michelle Sheth, Ryan Karkner, Corey Bullis reminding you, keep it casual. End.